Hallelujah. Please, let's take a seat. Thank you, man of God, for the exposition we've had just now. It's a great, great teacher. Thank you, a convener of Immortality Readiness Conference and his dear wife. It's good to tell a story. I'm not sure I've ever had you tell the story of Immortality Readiness Conference. It's good. And the Bible says you have an answer to everyone who asks you the reason behind your faith. So what did tonight is beautiful. Very beautiful. It's a man who knew what God called him to do. We've tried to make this man a resident pastor in this church, and to go and pastor a church, he refused. And just because he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. You know, thank God for your consistency. Praise the Lord. And then when they're about to finish the hymn, he said, "Oh, you will introduce me to who?" Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, I've been blessed already tonight. I think the note you sent to me, you said I should talk on the imperativeness, necessity of discipleship. There was a caveat after that. He said I should be at liberty to share whatever I'm impressed to share. So hopefully we'll touch more directly on your note tomorrow. Well, let me just share a few thoughts with us. Came in from Owerri this afternoon. We have been having a meeting in Owerri. And last night, I broached on something I have been putting together since last year. And that's what I'll try to begin with tonight. Somewhere along the line, we anchor it into the discipleship matter. They are all interwoven. I've been trying to take a look at the church, and if you have been a believer for a while, you will be disturbed by the state of the church. If you knew what Christianity was in the 70s and the 80s, you will be disturbed. So I've been trying to say, let's put a finger to it. What can we say are the problems of the church, Nigerian church particularly? Last year, I scratched on three issues. Yesterday, I had something last night which I could not elaborate on because of time. So what are they? If somebody asks, what do you think are the problems of the Church of Christ in Nigeria? What would be your answer? This would be my answer. Number one, absence of unifying doctrine. There isn't any, you can't say this as a church. These are the pillars. No, in Islam, they have what they call the five pillars of Islam. Is that right? Is that correct? Five pillars of Islam. It doesn't matter where you go. North, south, east, west, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Arabia, wherever. You have those five pillars. There might be a little variation, but the five pillars are there. What do we call the pillars of Christianity that is generally subscribed to? Luke chapter 1. Verses 1 to 4. Or maybe this one, just to save some time. For as much as many, or in as much as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those in which have been been fulfilled among us. The King James, give me the King James version of that scripture. KJV. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those in which are most surely believed among us. There was a consensus of belief along Samaria. In church, somebody, you tithe, oh, you don't tithe. You sprinkle blood, you comb your hair forward, comb it backward. If you want misfortune to live your life, you comb it forward for blessing to come. The things that are most surely believed among us. I guess it's about time the church is taught about the Nicene Creed all over again. Because after studying the scripture, the early fathers said, no, we can make some certain deductions. These are the things we believe in. And of course, those of us who grew up as Baptists, before you are immersed in water, they'll take you through the creed. Number two problem that I have identified, the absence of recognizable governing elder. That's why many heads are torn in the wrong direction. The Yoruba say, Agba okin wa loja, kori omo tuntun wo. Ask your neighbor for the interpretation. In my place, they said, if there are elders in the marketplace, the head of a young child will not be twisted. If you see a woman backing a baby in the village, and it goes to the market, if there are elders, a young mother, maybe first-time mother, are you with me? If you're a first-time mother and is backing a baby, and the head of the baby is this way, the elders there will call, hey, come. And they'll put their head straight for you. That's the job of elders. Part of our problems as a church, there are no recognizable elders. I'm not talking of denominational elders. I can call my pastor, local pastors in our local church. But, I mean, figures, national figures who can say a thing and then the church say, yes, the church has spoken. I have in mind Acts of the Apostles chapter 15, verses 13 to 19. You remember? There was a council that sat in Jerusalem over the subject of the Gentiles who believe. Some said their salvation is not complete unless they are circumcised by the law of Moses. Others said, no, we don't need to. And then they argue back and forth. So the Bible said they came together in Jerusalem to discuss the matter. In that council, Peter declared the word, what happened in the house of Cornelius. Paul declared what happened in their missionary journey. And then in verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. That's an elder speaking. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, that's Cornelius' house, to take care of them a people for his name. And to these agreed the words of the prophet as it is written. After these I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is falling down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now look at this. Wherefore, my sentence is, are you following me? This is my ruling on this matter. Tell me one man in this country who can say this is my sentence. Or a group of men who can say this is the communique we have met over this matter, and this is the communique of the church. Doesn't exist. We are like the days of judges, that every man does what seems right in his eyes. Number three problem. I call it the loss, because we had it before. The loss of the culture of honor. And it's more worrisome in these days of social media. From the Old Testament, God made provision for elders, aged ones, to be respected. So he says, you have to stand before who are you? It's a mark of honor. It's a mark of respect. Stand before who are you? Now, the parallel of that in the New Testament, Paul was writing to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, he said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, have you come across what some people write in the name of correcting people, or in the name of... do you know how the rubbish, grandfathers... I'm not saying they are right. I'm not saying everything they say right. But I'm coming on the platform on social media, call an 80-year-old man a liar. All those rogues. You don't use one wrong to correct another wrong. I'm not sure I'm talking to anybody here. The lack of respect. Of the honor, the culture of honor. Paul was standing trial, and then out of anger, when the high priest said, strike him, and they struck him and said, God will strike you, you whitewashed man. And then nobody said, reminded him, do you rebuke? Did you talk that way? How did they call it? What is the correct? Did you address the high priest and say, oh, I am sorry. I did not know it was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the rulers of your people. Friends, there are principles in scripture. Regardless of what some people do, you can't just get to the open and strip them naked. That would not be correct. I hope I'm not speaking above our head. It's a genuine scriptural principles where to live by. And somebody's wondering, so why? What is all this thing to discipleship? Connection with the discipleship. Well, we'll get there. So I'll show you three problems. No consensus in what we believe. Some say washing feet is litra. Some say sprinkle blood is the. Someone say mantu. Someone say just anything. Not the thing that is most surely believed among us. That's a problem. It's a problem not to have elders who can say, hey, you can do that. And it's a problem when young generation talk just anyhow about elders. More interesting, more applicable for us tonight. I'm trying to see my time. This is more applicable tonight. Problem number four in the church. So what I call gross immaturity. Gross immaturity. And this is the connection to the study of the discipleship. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, that has been paraphrased for us by a previous speaker, quoting from another, I think Pastor Femi also did that when he was introduced and welcoming us here. Matthew 10, 24, 25. The disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. Let me leave that. The essence of discipleship is to be like the master. We've been told that. He has told us that. What is the essence of growth? Spiritual growth. Talk to me. The essence of spiritual growth is to be more, become more like the master. So, I see immaturity in the church as a grave problem. Big problem. That when someone claims to have been in church, in Christ, for 10, 15 years, you still cannot see any remarkable change in the way they dress, in the way they speak, in the company they keep. That's a problem. I read this scripture yesterday, and this I'd like to explain something here. In a couple of places, Apostle Paul recalled his encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus. You know, recall that again and again. In chapter 26, he did that for the last time, at least in the Acts of the Apostles. And he told us what the Lord has come to do, why God apprehended him. I want to read that and show you something. And be able to connect this to what I have described as the problem of immaturity and the problem in the church. Verse 18 of that, let's look at this Acts 26. Let me give it from verse 16. Let me see if I can give it a good background. Now, do 15. Let's see. So I said, who are you? Now he's been knocked down on the way to Damascus, and the Lord has been saying, why are you persecuting me? So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. We deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles. To whom I now send you. Now look at this. To do what? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God,
that they may receive, take note now, this is what brought me here, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Listen carefully. There's a reason why I appear to you. You will open the eyes of the people. You will turn them from darkness to light. You will turn them from the power of Satan to God. For these go, they might receive forgiveness of sin on the one hand, and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Let me remind you, inheritance here might be considering two segments. Because the Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life which now is, and of the one which is to come. So, I believe there is a heavenly dimension to our inheritance. And of course, there is an inheritance reserved for us in heaven that is not perishable, as Peter tells us. But watch this. You receive forgiveness of sin. You receive inheritance among those who are sanctified. In between receiving forgiveness of sin and receiving inheritance is maturation. How many of you, did you get what I'm trying to say here? Between receiving forgiveness of sin, so, let's assume at this point you have forgiveness of sin. Critical, principal, primary, forgiveness of sin. On the other hand, you have your inheritance, at least the earthly dimension of the inheritance. It might be anything. Your promotion, your healing, your job, your marriage, mentioned. In between that and this is a process we call growth. The problem with the church is this. We kept emphasizing their inheritance. That's what he just told us. And they introduced us to Jesus, or introduced Jesus to us as miracle worker, the one who will give you husband, the one who will give you a child, the one who will give you a car, the one who will build a house for you. And that's okay. Because godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life which now is, and of the one which is to come. The problem is not the problem is that after receiving forgiveness of sin, you have to undergo process, undergo growth to be able to handle the inheritance. The cheapest way I use to illustrate this is this. Some years back, a couple of years now, not too long. Whenever any of my two sons who are in Europe come home, John prays to come occasionally. Before they come, all that, wouldn't arrange for some movement when we come to them? I say, no, that's no problem. And when they come, I hand them over the key of the car I drive, or any other arrangement to make movement easy. Then my last song, whenever I'm traveling, I will ask them to park the car in the church and keep the key away and take the key away. And then the battle will start. Why must I give the key of the car to so and so, and then
I don't give him the key of the car. Let me back pedal a bit. The first attempt to ask him to drive, to go to driving school after the driving school, and then gave the key to drive. We didn't even give him. He picked the key somewhere. You know, some of those days, some of you who have been caught there, you just want to do shakara to your friend that you are driving. And then when God wants to catch you, you hit something. So he carried the car and hit somebody's fence and broke somebody's fence. So I knew it wasn't right for the inheritance. You're not hearing me again. It was a running battle. If that's partiality, why will you give key to somebody and you don't give key to another? And just fair, that's not right. The parallel of that is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but an heir, as long as he's a child, he's not different from slave, even though potentially he's the master of all. Some of the things we think God is keeping away from us, no. He's keeping us away. He's keeping us away from danger, because if we assess them prematurely, we will self-destruct. So the Father is waiting for our emergence to certain status, certain level, for those things to be released. So he's not keeping them away from us, he's keeping them for us. And keeping us away from premature exposure. Oh, he's improved quite a while now, quite a lot now. So, on Wednesday, when I was to leave Lagos to fly to Owerri, the meeting I mentioned earlier, my flight was 7 a.m. Even if I have a staff to drive, that's too early. I can't ask someone to leave his house 5 a.m. to come to my house to carry me. The same man who was struggling for car to drive car was the one that I relied on, who took me from the house to the airport. We left the house about 5:30 to catch the 7 o'clock flight. Now, it's no longer a matter of complaint. It's no longer a matter of prayer. Some of the things you are praying for, just like you taught us, some of the things you are praying for, we don't necessarily need to pray for them. We grow into them. When we grow into them, they no longer become prayer point. But maybe again, I'm a local boy. I grew up from a village, so I had a lot of proverbs. They say, "I be toma bato konya anyokofun." That is, when a child is grown to the point of handling a hoe, you give him one. It's about growth. Discipleship is about growth also. That's why I'm coming from this angle. I came across H.B. Charles Jr. quote a few days ago, and this is what he said. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God use the Word of God to make the people of God look like the Son of God. I should say it again. Charles Jr., H.B. Charles Jr., it is the will of God. So maybe you should just, for you to be able to catch it, just say it as I mean. It is the will of God. Let's say it together. It is the will of God that the
Spirit of God, use the Word of God to make the people of God look like the Son of God.
Is that not what Pastor read to us from the easy to read version?
That the goal is that we are come, we are shaped into His own image, just as He is. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God use the Word of God.
Last week I told you, you are not looking for a sermon to snack on. Did you hear that?
Just want to step through with him. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God use the Word of God to make the people of God look like the Son of God. When we begin to look like Son of God, then we have really entered discipleship. That's the essence. Growth into Him. Becoming more like Christ. That's the essence of it. It's about growth.
The church has not done that this. The church has been pushing hard for the saints to enter their inheritance on this side of eternity. Get healed, get prospered, get married, etc., which is perfectly okay. However, in between receiving forgiveness of sin and receiving inheritance is maturation. Many of the things we're screaming for and shouting for, going to mountain for, we come with maturity. Let me dive into something. And I hope we'll not misconstrue it. I just want to be able to do a search together tonight. Don't misunderstand this statement I'm about to make. Let's get ready also to be patient to hear the explanation that follows. Oh, thank you, media. You capture it. It is the will of God. But did you say it correctly? The way I call it, something is missing. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God. So just amend that. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God use the Word of God to make the people of God look like the Son of God. So you almost got it. You got 95%. It is the will of God that the Spirit of God use the Word of God to make the children of God look like the Son of God. Let's examine this statement together. God has so many children, but few sons. Which, if you reduce it to the context of the theme of this meeting, it will be like God has so many people in church, but few disciples. God has so many children, but few sons.
Somebody say, oh, but John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So at the moment I receive Jesus, I'm a son of God. You are correct. And you are wrong. I was surprised. As I read about 7 different translations of the Bible
that only King James used sons here. The rest use children. Because in reality, you don't give birth to sons. You give birth to babies who grow to be sons. Are you with me? It's a deceit. When your wife gives birth to a male child, say, oh, my wife gave birth to a son. No, your wife did not give birth to a son. Your wife gave birth to a baby boy. It's over time that he might become. Not even with his automatic. Becoming a son is not automatic. Because if you have a 40-year-old man who is still asking for your recharge card, is that a son? I mean, you have a 40-year-old male in your house. And daddy, you said you sent me a recharge card. I've not seen the recharge card up till now. What kind of thing is this one? And you want to tell me what you have a son? We don't give back to sons. We give back to male children. And then they grow to be sons. So, people don't convert to be disciples. They convert to be believers. And then they grow to become disciples. Let's check a few scriptures here. Give me New King James of John 1, 12. I just wanted to be able to show you this. I hope it's going to impress you the way it did to me. New King James Version. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to do what? To become children of God. To those who believe in his name. The Passion Translation, TPT. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority to become what? The children of God. Amplified Classic. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become what? The children of God. New Living Translation. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. The Message. But whoever did want him who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true self, their child of God's self. Only one version, the King James, is the word sons. And if you have a Bible with margin, like I'm carrying here, even the margin of it reads children. As in the natural, so in the spiritual, you don't give birth to sons. You give birth to babies who could be a male child or female child, and then they now grow. I don't even know, sometimes English confuses us. When you give birth to a male child, say, oh, my wife gave birth to a son. Is that right? When you give birth to a baby girl, say, oh, my wife gave birth to a girl. Why does my wife give birth to a woman?
woman, that's not a woman. She could be, she might grow, all things being equal, she will grow to be a woman one day. But as of now, it's a girl child, a boy child. So in the kingdom, when someone is born again, it's converted, that's a baby in the Lord. With the opportunity to grow to be son. That's why I said God has many children, but few sons. This is about maturity. It's about maturity. Let me add a few things tonight. Within the space of time I have left. We've been told repeatedly, the goal of the Father is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. And that is the essence of discipleship. Is that correct? That's the essence of discipleship. A disciple is not about his master, but it is enough. It is expected for a disciple to be like his master. A disciple that is well instructed, well trained, we be like his master. That's the essence. So, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the firstborn. Is that right? He is the image of an invisible God. And the firstborn over all creation. Until very recently, now with new found prosperity, with new progress that humanity has made, in those days, when a woman gives birth, maybe first time mother, everything she uses to take care, to nurse the baby, she will keep for the one coming. Diapers, baby cot, what again? Walker. Okay, just keep it somewhere there. That is the same process. The process by which the first child was taken care of is the same process the other ones were taken care of. I'd like to announce to us that the Father has no different formula for us other than the ones He used for Jesus to be made a son. You know, the Bible said Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. But we sing, me, I no go suffer. I no go bear from bread. Me, I no go suffer, suffer, suffer. I no go bear from God of miracle, now my papa. God of miracle, now my... Hey, God of miracle. So is the papa of Jesus. So why did Jesus suffer? Eh? To get into sonship. Learn obedience through the things He suffered. He is the firstborn. He's our senior brother. So the path He went through to be approved as son, it's the same path we will go through if we have a hope to be approved as sons. Is someone here with me? Is this a hard stuff? Well, it is hard. Just be sure it's Bible stuff. Wow. Christianity is far deeper than where we are. Oh, no, no, no. We have not scratched it. We have not scratched this thing. We have not. Like you've said repeatedly tonight,
We have churches lined up every street, sometime five within a space of 100 meters. And there's no reflection of it in the society. Yeah, one or two men got to a place that those who have turned the world upside down are here also. It is the world that is turning us upside down. God have mercy. Let me show you a few things about Christ. How he got to that point. I'll run through this note now. Remember, he's the pattern son. What we see in him and about him are example for us. For those who want to go through the process and get to that point of declaration as sons of God, which in other sense is becoming disciple, being like him, these are some of the things you have to consider. Number one, we go through submission process. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 51. Luke 2, 41 to 51. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went home to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy, Jesus, can you see something here? He wasn't born as son, he was born as boy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The son that is given as gift, not the boy. The boy, it's complete. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. You can't go through discipleship class, discipleship season, without submission. You submit your pastor, submit your will, submit your agenda. Submission. It's a critical element of maturity, of growing into sonship, becoming a disciple. Number two, you have to grow status in the spirit. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Developing status in the spirit. So the things you could not handle years ago, they now walk over for you. If the things that flawed you 10 years ago still flaw you today, you haven't made progress.
If the things that threatened you 5 years ago still threaten you today, then you haven't made progress, much progress. Increasing wisdom, increasing stature, was in favor with God and with man. The process number three involves giving up childish things. Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:11, and he said, "When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." Before we went for our meeting yesterday, Pastor Segun Lugbemi and I were talking, with the man whose building is being used, because the meeting is here on, is being used for the program. I think that's, apart from being in that church, our local church, about 9-10 years ago, he hasn't been nowhere ever since. So, it's not the regular face or regular name. So, when they have a steering committee to prepare for the meeting, it's a pastor who are asking him, "Does he do miracle?" So, that's how to determine whether they were attending meeting. "Does he do miracle?" So I asked, I said, "You mean there are pastors still asking this kind of question?" "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Behaved like a child. Reasoned like a child. When I became a man, put away childish things." There's a world of difference between childishness and childlikeness. Jesus recommended the latter. He wants us to be childlike. That's why he said, "Unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will by no means enter into it." Childlikeness is recommended. Childishness is to be avoided. Oh, you need to see how childish many people are in church. By examining the things that offend them, you are entering church. And the usher said, "Please don't see that and come here." And then you look at the usher. And you look from head to toe. "Who is this person that is commanding me like that?" And then can pick enmity with that person on account of, "Please don't sit there, come and sit here." If you see what offends people in church, what people take offense about, you just want to find out, what are they hearing? Jesus, the parent son, submitted himself, gave up many things, growing status. Lastly, for tonight, let me show you what happened to this pattern son in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Romans 1, 1 to 4. Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, announced to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. Emerged from Jordan, emerged from John's baptism, or having fulfilled all obedience. You know, he came to John, said, "Hey, have me baptized." John said, "No, it should be the other way around." He said, "No. Suffice to be so. Let's fulfill all conditions. Let's leave no scripture unfulfilled." And then John immersed him in water. The Bible said, coming out of the water, the heavens were open to him. And there was a voice coming, "This is my beloved Son." He has fulfilled the condition. He bade his time. He passed through a season of insignificance. Nobody knew him. He didn't announce himself. He didn't jump ahead of time. He didn't operate with his own timetable. By the way, do you know a disciple has no timetable of his own? No. Another dictates his movement. He was declared to be the Son of God with power and the Spirit of holiness. As we try to close tonight, let me say this clearly. Until the Spirit of holiness comes on us, we cannot manifest our sons in earnest. That dimension is important. Was declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness. The more the Spirit of holiness works in us and works through us, the more like Christ we become, which is the essence of discipleship. Becoming like him. I'd like to say, these disciples are not made in a hurry. It takes time. Taking one layer of the world from us, one layer at a time, until the world begins to see the beauty of Christ in us. That's the song we used to sing the SCDs. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. All these wonder, compassion, purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus is in me. There's another songwriter says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in closet with your master alone. He said, thy friend in a very short while in your likeness or in your life, the likeness of Jesus they will see. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, not the day he was born. 30 years passed in the wilderness, unknown, unheard, uncelebrated. But communing with the Father, building status in the Spirit, submitting his own agenda to the agenda of the Father. And at the end, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Declared to be the Son of God. I want to challenge you tonight. Don't be content to be a child of God. Aspire to be a Son of God. Don't feel satisfied being a child of God. Move up the ladder. Be a son of God. Be a true disciple. Be like Jesus, the pattern son.
And the world around you will feel it. The world around you will know there's a difference. May God give you understanding. Let's rise to our feet. All His wondrous compassion and purity, O Thou Spirit Divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus is seen. All His beautiful, wonderful nature to be seen in me. Do you know that the early disciples that the man of God taught us about, they didn't go about introducing themselves. They just saw them. These ones are Christians. There are people you meet by virtue of the aura they carry. You don't need anybody to tell you this one is a Christian. This one is a Christian. That's where we should aspire to go. Don't stop being a child of God. Move up the ladder. For the Spirit of holiness to declare you as a son of God with power and influence wherever you go. Father, help us by your Spirit. And help us, Lord, to approximate the exact image of Jesus, to radiate Jesus to our world. That when the world sees us, they will see Jesus. When the world hears us, they will hear Jesus. Holy Spirit, take this word, apply it to the hearts of people beyond the way I could ever imagine. And let your name be praised forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.